So how many hours do you sleep at night? I would say as far back as probably sixth grade, most of my life, I've only slept about 4 or 5 hours a night. I was up watching McLeod at midnight when it was going off when I was a kid. I never have really slept a whole lot, but I found there's someone who sleeps less than I have. Giraffes. Yeah, I recently saw where a giraffe, on average, sleeps 1.9 hours a night. I mean, I guess if they slept any longer than that, they could end up with a pain in their neck, and that's a lot of neck to pain, you know? What happens when a giraffe swallows a toy jet? That's right, it's a real pain in the neck. It's a holiday, come on. Speaking of planes and pains and necks, life can be a pain in the neck sometimes, right? Things like anger, fear, worry, discouragement, depression, anxiety, these things can create pain in our lives. What if there was a way for no sleep to actually help all of those painful difficulties? What if no sleep was just the answer that we needed the most? We continue our series called Summer Shade, where we are walking through Psalm 121, and we're looking into this psalm longing for some shade. Shade from the heat of the exhausting things in life, things like anger and fear and worry and jealousy, envy, anxiety, stress, discouragement, depression. We want a little bit of shade from the painful things that show up in life. The title of today's message is called Summer Rings, and we turn our attention to verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 121, and we begin in the very last part of verse 3, and this is what the psalmist says: "He who watches over you will not slumber. Behold, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord of hosts, Yahweh, Jehovah, the eternal, never changing, self-existent God, does not slumber and he does not sleep." What does that mean for your life right now, today, July 5th, 2026? What does that mean for you? It means that if the one true God of the universe is your God, and if he does not slumber and he does not sleep, that means there's never a millisecond that God is not watching over you. Never is God not watching over you. That's why no sleep is the answer to the most painful realities of life. The fact that God never slumbers and never sleeps is why we can say with great joy, and why we can sing at times, "It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul." We know the words of that song. We can hear those words out loud, but how can we have that type of confidence? The confidence that it really is and really can be well with our soul. Well, think about it historically. This weekend, we are marking 250 years of America being a people. 250 years is a really, really long time. Just doing some general math amongst those here and those watching online, that's at least 148 years more than any of us have even been alive. And during that 250-year time period, God has very uniquely shed his grace on our country, and he is still shedding his grace on our country. But then take that 250 years and put it next to this psalm. This psalm, when it was written, Israel, the people of God, were technically about 427 years old. They had been the people for about 427 years. 427 years is a long time. And during that time, the way God shed his grace on the people was he watched over them. He followed through on his promise that they would not just be a couple of generations of Hebrew slaves, but that he would be their God and they would be his people. And as the psalmist is writing this, he is writing knowing that the people were not just wiped off the face of the earth, but for at least 427 years, they had been protected by God. He had been a perfect watchman over them. In ancient times, the watchman had to stay awake all night. That was their job, stay awake all night to make sure that in the night when people were sleeping, that there was someone keeping a lookout, warning of danger. When I was in graduate school, I looked into a job as a night shift security guard. It was a huge office complex. It was closed during the day, but it was so big they wanted someone on campus that night. And it was great for me because it was a night job. I didn't sleep much anyway, so I could study and hang out and do what I needed to do. And if something happened, I was just supposed to call somebody anyway. So it was a good little gig. I ended up not doing it, but it was a great opportunity for something that kind of matched my life. God is not a night watchman in a village. He's not a security guard in an office building. God, according to all that we know about him, is always watching. He's not just watching at night. He's always watching. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He is always awake. He never takes a day off. He is always on. This is the character of who he is, and his character does not change. So the psalmist is writing this psalm with at least 427 years of evidence and experience that God kept his promises, that God watched over his people. And now we sit here today, 3,000 years later, still under the evidence, the proof, the experience that God is watching over his people, and not just watching over his people, but watching over the whole world. Have you ever wandered off? I mean, does your mind ever wander off? I mean, you're wandering off right now. You're not really paying attention to the sermon. You're thinking about tacos or mac and cheese for lunch. I know. It's okay. I'm not offended. It's fine. I mean, I'm thinking about food too, always. So, you know, it just happens. God's mind never wanders off. It never wanders off. That's what it means that God never slumbers. He never wanders off. His mind never wanders. He never gets bored being God, and he never gets bored with us. Author David Eggener said this, "If God's mind wandered, trees would crash to the ground. Water would pour out of the oceans. The planets would go spinning off through space. Prayers would be unheard and unanswered. And those he protects would be left vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. But that could never happen." Why? Well, why could that never happen? It can never happen because the Lord of hosts, Yahweh, Jehovah, the eternal, never-changing, self-existent God, the God who fearfully and wonderfully created you, that God does not slumber. And he does not sleep. Eggener goes on, "We are ever at the center of God's attention and his care. We are secure because we love and serve a God whose mind never wanders. Behold, God never slumbers. He never sleeps. He never takes a day off. He never wanders off. He never gets bored. He never stops being God." That's why the psalmist is writing this psalm. It's why he uses the word behold. He's trying to show us. He's trying to get our attention. Behold, stop, look, listen to this. This is a really, really big deal. God never slumbers. He never sleeps. He never takes a day off. He never wanders off. He never gets bored. He never stops being God. Can you feel the weight of that? I mean, when you think of whatever it is that's got you stressed out this week, Whatever is ahead this week that might create some stress, whatever is making you angry or afraid or worried or discouraged or depressed, can you feel the weight, the cool and confident and comforting weight of these realities about God? God is always God, and there is no other God like Him. And you are never out of His sight. You are never out of His care. So, is God your God? Not just some random God. I have found, I think it's very interesting. It seems much more now in these days than I remember in the early, late 70s, early 80s days of country music. There's lots of country music with lots of prayers and lots of things about God. But is He their God? Or is it a cute country song that just sounds good? Is God your God? The God that never slumbers and never sleeps. Is He a cute country song or a traditional hymn or a contemporary worship song in your life? Or is He your God? The God you wake up with, the God that sustains you when everything is falling apart, when you feel and maybe even say there is no hope, your heart still knows God is there. Is this God your God? Do you know the one true holy God? Not just know about Him, but have you truly seen that the greatest problem in the world, the greatest problem in this country, it's not in politics. It's not in government. It's not in the economy. It's not in gas prices. It's not at home. It's not at school. It's not at work. The greatest problem in the world, the greatest problem in this country is rejecting God. Or someone once put it, dishonoring God in such a way that you belittle His infinite glory as if it's worthless. Not just saying, I don't know if I believe in God or not, but you look at the infinite glory of God and you say, that has no value. Where is the glory of God in your life? Do you live your life as if the infinite glory of God is worthless? And maybe just in a more practical way, when you think about how you do life daily, does the glory of God show up? Do you think about it and look at and turn to and believe in the glory of God? The greatest problem in life, regardless of where you live, is to reject God, to not be right with God. So how can that problem be solved? Well, Jesus said in John 3:16 that the way it's solved is for you to believe in Him. To believe in and trust in, rely on, and cling to Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And not just believe in Him casually, but believe that He is your greatest treasure. That when you look at that all the things in this world, you say, you know what? There is something about the birth of Jesus. There's something about the life of Jesus. There's something about the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, the promised return, the work that God has done, is doing, and will do in and through Jesus. That is something that is a treasure above all other treasures. If that is a treasure in your life, that you believe in Jesus, that belief, it's a miracle. If you're a Christian, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. I don't care if you got saved in a cute little country church 70 years ago or you got saved 7 days ago. If you're a Christian, it's a miracle that you're a Christian. To go from treasuring you, treasuring your comfort, treasuring your opinions, treasuring your rights, treasuring your ideas, treasuring your sin, to go from that to treasuring Jesus, it's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle in the world. So has that miracle happened to you? Has the miracle of salvation, has it captured your heart? Are you truly believing in and trusting in Jesus Christ? Is he your greatest treasure in this life and also your greatest treasure for the moment you die? Is Jesus your treasure? If not, we would plead with you, turn to him. Believe today. There is no treasure like Jesus. There's no treasure greater than Jesus in this life, and there's no treasure greater than Jesus after this life on earth is done. If you are not believing, then believe. Turn to him. And if you are believing, then no matter what's happening at home, no matter what's happening at work, no matter what's happening in any place in the world, no matter what's happening in your health, no matter what's happening anywhere, if you are believing, if Jesus Christ and salvation in him is your greatest treasure, and that's seen in some way in your life, then right now you are living in the greatest guarantee that has ever existed. And what kind of guarantee is that? John 10, 28, Jesus said this, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. That's what it means to be a Christian. You will have eternal life. You will never perish. You will physically die, but you will never truly perish. And no one can ever and could ever snatch you out of the hands of God. Behold, these are the promises that Jesus has made with his own life, with his own death, with his own blood. But how do we know they're true? How do we know these promises are really guaranteed? Well, we know because for 6 hours one Friday, Jesus was crucified on a cross outside of Jerusalem. He bore our sins in his own body. And his dead body was placed in a tomb owned by a man named Joseph. And 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. He is still alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And his resurrection is the power of salvation to those who believe. So, do you believe? Is the power of the resurrection of Jesus an Easter story to you, or is it an everyday story to you? And how do we know this power is still alive? How do we know it's not just an Easter story? How do we know it's not just a cute story from the past? How do we know that the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of salvation in Jesus Christ, is still working? Well, here's how we know. Behold, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, he never slumbers. He never sleeps. He never takes a day off. He never wanders off. He never gets bored. He never stops being God. Is that God your God? Is he your God? Simon Peter was writing to some Christians who were exhausted. The heat from all of the problems and pains in their life had just gotten so much. They needed some shade. They needed some help. So this is what Peter wrote to them to help them with their exhaustion. 2 Peter chapter 2. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness held for judgment, and if God did not spare the ancient world, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example of what is coming for the ungodly, and if God rescued righteous Lot, who is oppressed by the perverted conduct of ungodly people, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from a trial. That is super strong language to remind us that what we do today is not a religion. It's not Baptist. It's not American. This gathering, first and most, the ultimate purpose of it is to lift up the infinite glory of God, because the infinite glory of God reminds us that infinite glorious God loves you. His love for you is deep and powerful. It's infinite. If you are not a Christian, Peter's words are very true. God knows how to rescue you. He sent Jesus Christ to pull off the only miracle that could rescue you. He knows how to rescue you. Turn to him today. And if you're a Christian, God knows how to rescue you. It may not be the rescue you're looking for. That's been my experience many times in life. It may not be the rescue we're looking for, but dear Christian, God knows how to rescue you. I don't sleep 4 to 5 hours anymore. I've made some changes in life, and I probably sleep 7 or 8 hours every night now. And I'm going to tell you, it's nice. I didn't realize sleep was so cool. Man, I mean, I didn't realize what I've been missing out on. It's kind of nice. But you know, more than getting more sleep, I really wish I could understand more the power of no sleep. I wish my heart and my mind could understand more what it means that God does not sleep. That he is always awake. He is always watching. In October 1405, 621 years ago, a fire tore through the city of Lausanne in Switzerland. The cathedral up on the hill in town began to ring the bells nonstop, trying to alert the people of the danger. It was a devastating fire in the city. And after that devastating fire, they decided they would put somebody at the tower ongoing. So someone was placed, a watchman was placed during the night at the tower. And every hour on the hour, the watchmen would ring the bells, and then they would cup their hands and shout down to the village, "This is the watchman. The bell has rung." And that was the sign to the people that all was well. It's a great story. It's fun. Great story from history, except it's not a story from history. It's still going on. 621 years later, there's still a watchman at the cathedral. The times have changed. They're not there all night. They're there from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., but it's still the same. They ring every hour, cup their hands, and shout out to the village, "This is the watchman. The bell has rung." Listen, God is not on guard just from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. He's always awake. He's always watching. The Liberty Bell in Philadelphia is one of the most recognizable symbols of American independence. It was originally cast in 1752, making it 22 years older than the country itself. And do you know what is inscribed by chance on the top of the bell? It goes around the top portion. All these years later, still there. It's 11 words from the Old Testament of the Bible. A portion of Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. This is what it reads. "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That's this weekend, right? We are proclaiming 250 years, marking 250 years of proclaiming liberty throughout the land. And this morning, as Christians, we are also marking something we mark every Sunday. And for that matter, as Christians, we mark it every single day. we mark that as Christians, we are always proclaiming the liberty and the freedom, the joy and the satisfaction that doesn't just have an anniversary, but it is infinite. It is liberty, it is freedom, it is joy, it is satisfaction that will never end. We are proclaiming the liberty that comes through salvation in Jesus Christ. There is no liberty like that liberty. Salvation, liberty, freedom, created by the power of Almighty God. The Almighty God who never slumbers and never sleeps, never takes a day off, never wanders off, is never bored, and never stops being God. Behold, the bell has rung, and the bell keeps ringing. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Yahweh, Jehovah, the eternal, never-ending, self-existent God never, ever sleeps. So the bell never stops ringing. Be of good cheer. Liberty is here. Freedom is here. The Lord never sleeps. He is awake. He reigns, and His kingdom is forever. His kingdom is forever. The bell of heaven has rung, and it will never go out.